Okay, first thing I want to do is pray for our communications. Well, I'm not going to say it. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for all for giving us this opportunity to get together again in one accord, all of us in one accord. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to utilize the authority that you've given us. And in the name of Jesus, right now, I come against any kind of communications problem for everyone who wants to attend and be on this fellowship. In Jesus' name, I command all communications to act like it's supposed to. No hindrances, no interruptions in the name of Jesus. We command it in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus covers everybody's computer, internet, and all of those things that are applied in the name of Jesus. So we're not going to have a problem tonight. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for bringing us all together once again. And Father, we just praise you for what you're going to do tonight. I feel excited about tonight. I am excited about tonight because I know you're going to be in charge. We're going to be led by your Spirit. And when we're led by your Spirit, it always works out well. Thank you, Father, for being with us, using us to say the things that you want us to say. And Father, we thank you for the authority that you've given every one of us. No matter how long we've been into the kingdom, we've got the same authority. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish tonight. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Okay, Judy, did you want to pray for these fire things, what you're talking about?
Yeah, if you would all agree with me, just share briefly. I got a fire weather watch warning. I guess it's a watch, but they're saying from Thursday evening and through Saturday afternoon, strong gusty winds and low humidity for the areas I live in, which is Southern California, essentially. So Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus for your blessing, for your protection on myself and all of your people here. I pray down every evil work and assignment of potential and threatening fire conditions. In Jesus' name, I ask, Lord, that there would not be the low humidity and gusty winds. In Jesus' name, I command the winds to cease. They will not rise up. They will not be threatening wind conditions and dry conditions. In Jesus' name, I pray against all DEW potential attacks and every planned attack of destruction and fires. In Jesus' name, that they will not come to pass in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace. It is your grace, Lord. We don't deserve this, but I'm asking you for your favor here, Lord, and for your mercy and protection on the animals and people, Lord, lives. And they've already gone through so much of this stuff already, Lord, and I ask for your mercy in these things in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. We hook our faith up with you, and we command it as so in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory to God. No fires. To Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else?
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Okay. Go ahead, Phil, Lana, whoever.
I just have a praise report. We went to visit my sister and her husband the other weekend, and it was a good trip. Things went as expected. And I just wanted to ask for prayer for their little newborn, Estella. She has a birthmark that, for some reason, it's on her neck. And she's such a tiny little thing, and she's got all those chubby rolls on her neck. And I guess because of the moisture that was locked in that particular area, it started to blister and it opened up. And so I told my sister that maybe she just needs to keep it dry and keep it open and it should go away. But unfortunately it got worse. And now the little baby, she's not even 2 months old yet. And she's got antibiotics and medications because my sister took her to the urgent care. And so I just like for prayer that the Lord would do a quick work and heal the little baby, and also pray for the parents. just like many, many of us that used to go to the institutional churches and were in their religions before we came here. My sister and her husband are very dedicated to that. And it's really hard to talk to her husband, especially. He's just into theology, and he seems to need to one-up everything we say. So it's hard to even get a good message across without him finding some reason to defend his ideas. So we're just asking the Lord to continue to work in him and soften his heart and open up his spiritual eyes and ears, because as long as the Lord does not do that, our messages are nothing. So.
Amen. What's his name, Lana?
His name is Joe.
Okay. Do you want to pray, or you want us to?
If you could pray for them, I'd appreciate that.
Okay. And for that little baby, I need to understanding on that. Did you say it was an open wound on her or something?
Yeah, she has a big old birthmark on her neck, and mm-hmm. It's opened up into a very painful sore. It's kind of broken up and all, and it's very hard on a newborn and on Jen, my sister. And I hope that they wouldn't need to go to urgent care, but it's gotten worse.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's pray for that baby. Lord, we lift up Estella to you, this newborn baby. And we command that wound and that birthmark to heal up, dry up, and go away. In the name of Jesus, we command the pain to cease now. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you're going to get the glory, not the doctors, not Joe, but you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we command Estella to be healed by the blood and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We command that demon off of her too. In the name of Jesus, you go right now in the name of Jesus. And we break the power of Satan on Joe right now. The religious spirits, you go from him. Open up his eyes, Lord. We ask in the name of Jesus, his spiritual eyes to see that there's more to it than what he's been taught. There's more to it, Father. And show Joe to get into the Word and find out for himself what the Word says rather than what men has taught him. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're going to see a turnaround here in this family. Estella, you be healed. Joe, you be delivered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. I believe it. Glory to God, glory to God. Estella is healed, delivered, and set free. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. My. We take it. Believe it.
Amen.
Stand
Amen.
On it.
I have another one to add. And okay. We have prayed for this gentleman in the past. It's my cousin. And he, when did we pray about him?
It's been a couple of months.
Couple of months now. Yeah. So he came over yesterday. I was actually cooking pelmeni and rice, or not rice, what was it? Onions? Yeah. So yeah, if you want to Google that and slobber a little bit, that's great. But so I was cooking it up, and for some reason, his name popped into my head. And I said, hey, let's invite him over. So I texted him, and he was literally just showing up at his house after work. So it was like perfect timing. He came over, and we probably talked for about 2 hours or so. And the Lord's really working on him. He told me with this like amazement that now when he sins, he instantly feels a fear come on him saying, whoa, I shouldn't be doing that. You know, and he wasn't like that, you know, a few months ago. So now he's scared to drink. He's scared to smoke. He's just, the fear of the Lord is just coming on him. So the Lord is answering our prayer there. And
thank you, Lord.
With this new desire of his to follow the Lord more, he's been reaching out to my other cousin, which is a very, very learned individual, full of theology, full of philosophy, and goes goes quicker to the teachings of Martin Luther or Calvinism, and before he goes to the Bible, you know. And I can, when I speak to this this guy Vasily, I can just hear the other guy's words coming through him, because I've spoken to my other cousin, and this theology is so, so deep. Anyway, so we could pray for Vasily to just to, for the Lord to open his spiritual eyes, because he's stuck in this rut where there's no way you can be free from sin. There's no way. He's got that verse where all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And he just can't get past that, even though there's so many verses about perfection. And it's, I told him, it's a faith thing. You gotta believe it. You have to, just like you believe in your salvation, believe in being perfect, you know. But he just can't. He won't accept it. Too much theology in his brain right now. So, Father, I lift up Vasily to you. You've been doing a work in him. You've been showing him where he's stumbling, and you've been giving him a convicted heart. And I thank you for that, Father. And I just pray that you keep opening his eyes, reveal to him your truth, open his spiritual eyes so that he can see that without faith, it doesn't matter how much theology you have, you're nowhere. Just like the Pharisees were, they didn't have anything. So just let that theology fail him, is the prayer that Lana was praying. So we just agree with that, and just give him into your hands, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and thank you, Father, for his deliverance. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we believe with Theo that Vasily is delivered from that theology. And we thank you, Father, that place it in his heart to hunger for the word of God rather than man's word. We praise you for it, Father, that every time he opens up the book, you'll show him something. It'll be a revelation to him. And Lord, place that hunger in Vasily to go ahead and search out the word of God rather than Martin Luther or John Calvin. Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Next time that Theo talks with him, he's going to ask questions. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And
amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Rice and onions, huh?
And Lord, can I pray a little bit with that too? Father, and just in addition to Theo and Michael's prayers, Lord, I just pray that you would put it in his heart to go right to the Bible and start searching you for the answers, and not going to anyone else, not going to his uncle, not going to somebody he thinks he knows, who knows, Lord, but you will point him in the right direction and put it in his heart to seek your face. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right, Claire, go ahead.
I have some praise reports. One is on the 14th of October, we prayed for Jessica, my friend in South Africa who had the little newborn baby, and the breastfeeding wasn't going very well. And she texted me yesterday and she said, I should actually read it to you because it's just so beautiful. She said that we are doing so much better. I finally call myself a breastfeeding mummy. He's drinking so well without any pain from me or for me. God is so faithful. And so I said to her, amen, a miracle and a trial of faith and enduring through tribulation, glory to God. And then I asked, I said, did I tell you that we prayed for you? And do you know that our fellowship of believers prayed for you? And I sent her this little picture of my prayer things that we pray for. I make a note every time we come together of the things we pray for. And then she said, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so very grateful. Please share the testimony that God came through for me in a miraculous way. So that's awesome. That's one option to say. And then the other praise report that I have is Rhiannon and I have recently sent some Sovereign Guards to people we know on the mainland. Our network in Australia is so limited. Like, we really know nobody here. It's very strange. Whereas in South Africa, it's so much easier to get word out and to get people onto something. But anyway, the few, I think maybe like 8 couples that we know, we sent each Sovereign Guards last week. You know, like the real deal, not just the PDF. So that it feels like a little present and whatnot. And the one lady, I gave her a Bible last year, actually her and her husband, I sent them Bibles and children's Bibles because they didn't have any. And she's kind of like reading them but she's also clinging on to her New Ageism. But anyway, she sent me a message yesterday and she said, "Your books arrived." And then I got this as a confirmation, and she sends me this picture. I'll show it for the people who are on screen, but it's clouds. I don't know if you can see clouds in the sky. And she said to me, "This is what I imagine heaven's gates to look like."
So
she got that at the same time. She got her post at the same time she saw these. And so for her, that's a big confirmation that she should read Sovereign God, which I know is, you know, but anything is good, right? Because God uses everything. And then last night I got this dream of 2 couples in South Africa that we've also just recently sent books to. Anyway, I got this dream that the one couple had already packed their house and left to go to where we were. But that doesn't mean, in my dream, I knew that that wasn't Australia. And then I was helping this other couple pack up their house. And she said to me, "I can't wait to leave." And her husband just looked so different. Like, he didn't act like the typical person who's tied to his culture. He looked like he had moved past that and he was operating in a different manner. And that was so exciting for me. And then the dream changed. I got, and then I had another dream about something else. But anyway, so that was my dream. And when I woke up, I got this, I got a text message from the first couple that's already left, just in the dream, to say that they received the Sovereign Guards on Sunday. They're so happy. They're going to work through it and share as they go along. So for me, that's like a confirmation. Like, the Lord is literally ticking people off my list. Like, he's going, yep, yep, yep. And they're going to read these books. And I'm so excited. Like, I don't know if I'm making sense, if it's clear, but it's what I'm trying to say is that this book, we know that that book opens your spiritual eyes. The Lord uses it. And we know that people need this book. And it's so exciting that he's doing it all now.
Amen. I wish you'd show some emotion sometime, Claire. I just do, you know.
Do I not show enough? What do you want?
No, you are. I'm saying that tongue in cheek. Yeah, that's awesome. That is really awesome. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Let that Sovereign God go from family to family to family and open up some eyes in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
No. Oh, boy. All right. Who's next? Yes, you are. Well, amen. Okay. Who else has got a prayer request or a praise report? Amen. Yeah, Angelica, I'm sorry I didn't see you two just now. You was over in the lower right hand, now you're up in the upper left. Now you're back down.
Hi, Michael. I have a couple prayer requests and somewhat of a faith report. My dad, he's still in the hospital, COVID and stuff, but I just believe that the Lord's going to bring him out and everything. My sister Rosanna, her mom, and our adopted little sister, their whole house came down with COVID. So, but anyway, in the midst of this stuff, just praying and ministering to my sister and everyone, my sister is just, she's just kind of, they're kind of really all taken with a lot of fear and anxiety and, you know, all the stuff the world deals with, but, just in praying and ministering to her, she's repented. Like she, you know, she's, you know, just really just shared with her the gospel, shared with her faith and everything like that. And she said last night that she, you know, she got on her knees and she repented to God for her sin. And she woke up this morning and she sent me a little picture of the, cause I told her, I was like, you need to spend your time reading the word and focusing on God's promises for your life. And instead of, you know, listening to all the bad report and all listening to people who are not going to, you know, put faith in your life. And so anyway, she's like, I don't even have a Bible. I think I have a Catholic Bible. And I was like, oh gosh, I was like, oh, and she just download the Bible app. So she woke up this morning and she had the Bible app already. And the word that she got was, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from them and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Cause that was the word for the day that, you know, that you get a little notification. Mm-hmm. So she was like, wow, he really heard me. Like he really heard me. And I was like, yes, so he really did hear you. And you know, he's going to continue to hear you. I believe the Lord's doing a work in my life and drawing her and just using all of this, for his glory. The only thing is, you know, fear just wants to just keep on jumping right back on her and our little adopted sister and her mom. And she also found out today that her little, I don't know why it's godchildren or whatever. She's like, it's crazy. You don't even believe her, but you're someone's godmother or whatever. I don't know. But her friends or her children or her godchildren or something. And so anyway, they were positive with COVID. And I really just believe it's possible that it's just, you know, a bunch of false negatives going around anyway. But maybe even if it is, it doesn't matter. I'm just believing and standing for them. So I just would like someone to pray just that the Lord just give her the supernatural peace and that this fear wouldn't overtake her, because it's the fear that's, you know, that's really just causing them to hyperventilate and do all these things, you know what I mean? And then, you know, they're the last place they want to end up is in the hospital right now, you know, where no one can minister to them, you know? So,
okay. Now this is Roseanne, your sister that came to Christ.
Yeah, she's Rosanna. Yeah, Rosanna.
Rosanna, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, I thank you for Rosanna and you bringing her into the kingdom, Father. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you open up the word to her, mm-hmm. open up the promises to her. And in the name of Jesus right now, I take authority over fear in her life. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for opening up her eyes, giving peace in her heart about this, and let her be the catalyst for the rest of the family coming into the truth of the Word of God. Amen. And Father, we praise you for it, and using Angelica to show her, Lord, where to look and what to do. And Father, we just praise you for the work you're doing in her and this family. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of COVID over this family in Jesus' name and cast it out in the name of Jesus. And all the symptoms go with it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you are putting the fear of God on each and every one of them that don't know you in an intimate way. And Father, we praise you. We praise you, Father, for bringing this whole family together in you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We praise you, Father, for this family.
Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. I praise you, Lord God. I thank you so much, Lord. I thank you. My father is going to go home soon, Father, and I just bless his lungs to be healed, Lord. I thank you that none of that medication is going to have any effect on his muscles, Lord God, that he's not going to have a hard time walking, that he's not going to be debilitated, Father God, and it's going to be to your glory. And I just loose the angels to surround and protect him, Father God. Protect his heart, protect his breathing, Lord. I pray that you use this time to show him heaven, to show him something, Father God. Whatever you want to show him, Lord God, just draw him unto yourself, Father God, and just use this, Father God. It's the perfect time, Father God, before all these horrible things, Father God, that they would be repentant and come to you, Father. And I just thank you so much for all of this, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, for giving me faith, Father God. Well, I feel a little empty, Lord God. I feel like I sometimes I just talk too much or something. And I just feel like I need your anointing and your power to be upon me, Father God, to continue to speak faith and life, Father God. And I thank you for doing that for me. And I pray that you fill my sister with your Holy Spirit, Father God. And
yes,
give her the power to overcome sin, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I love it when new Christians come in because God just works in their life in a mighty way to bring them on in. Go ahead, Will.
I've got a praise report today. a few years ago, I got that scripture for the lady that came to Jesus for her daughter, and she was pleading with him to heal her daughter who was demon-possessed. And it was not even a daughter's faith at all. It was just her faith that healed her daughter. And I started just using that for a lot of my family members who were unbelieving. Some of them were believing and some of them weren't. I started praying for my gran. She was 80 at the time. And although she would not always be positively speaking, I would just tell her, no, you're fine, gran, you're healed. You're getting younger every year. You're getting better every year. And with COVID, we moved her to the farm and there's not a lot of electricity. We've got a generator, so she couldn't use her oxygen machine as much as she normally would be able to with electricity. And I remember we prayed for her on one of the meetings. I think David was still there, so that she'll be free of that oxygen machine that she's been using for the last 10 years. And yesterday we had a random call for the oxygen service lady needs to just check out my gran and see what she's doing, how she's doing, and also see the machine and service the machine. So I had to bring my gran into town today to have her checked. And the lady was very surprised looking at my gran. I didn't even tell her my gran has hardly even used the machine the last 7 months. And she tested my gran's oxygen was 90%. She looked at my gran and said, your feet's not even swollen. And I just kept quiet because I didn't want them to take the machine back. I was like, and I just said, yeah, she was very pleased. And I told my gran, yeah, see, gran, I told you, you're getting younger. Every year, you're getting younger. What was in the beginning, they if you're standing in faith for someone, they might be negative, and that used to sort of get to me, you know, when they would be, they won't normally have the same faith. What I really liked about that scripture was in the back of my head, I just say, well, it has nothing to do with your faith. It's just my faith will get you there. It's just that it really is. That is really powerful stuff. They can be very negative, talking negative the whole day, and it's got nothing to do with their faith. It's your faith. And that verse that we can heal our family members, no matter how negative they would normally be, you know. Yeah, that's what I wanted to share.
That's a good testimony. You go, Granny. Amen. You 30-year-old Granny, you praise the Lord. All right. Praise God. Julie, do you have your hand up? Oh, okay. Anybody else? I got both of them up. All right. Anyone else? This is good night. Praise God. I like his good testimony. Amen. Anybody got a praise report or a testimony or a prayer request? Amen. Yeah, Pat.
Michael, I got a praise report and then a conundrum. So I'll go with
that. How do you spell it?
I'm not quite sure.
Okay. Go ahead, brother.
Well, the praise report is that about 5 or 6 days ago, I quit looking, but my sink that I was trusting the Lord to heal or to close or to fix stopped leaking. And I thought, man, that is really cool. And I had a little bag underneath it, underneath the place where it was dripping, so that I could catch it and then empty it every day or that sort of thing, you know. And so out of habit, I just looked down there under the sink and there was no water on it. And that was for about 4 or 5 days. And so when this happened before, not this particular thing happened before, but I was waiting for another attack or something by the devil. Now, I don't know why, just kind of thinking, you know, this is usually comes around the second time the devil trying to take it away from you. So I knew I was going to have to stand whatever those conditions are, whatever happened, I'm just going to have to stand in that truth, in that faith that God has taken care of that. So I was kind of excited because my wife was coming home from Florida and I wanted to tell her. And so I told her about it. And then yesterday when I woke up and I looked under the sink again and it started leaking again. First, I want to give the Lord the glory that he stopped it. And I didn't do anything about it. It just stopped. And now it started back up again. So that would be the conundrum. And the thought would be, I'm asking the Lord just to give me wisdom, how to respond to that, how to deal with that now.
Let me tell you.
And so I got all kinds of takers here. I'm listening. Yeah. I'm all ears.
Here's what I'd do. What I would do if it was mine. If that leak had started back in my shop, I would have said, "Now I told you, I commanded you, by the power and the stripes of Jesus, to be healed. Now you get out of here, devil, and quit trying to mess with my faith. I command it to be healed." And it's healed, and don't take no for an answer. That's what I do.
I receive that. Bingo.
Yeah, because that's just what it is. It's the devil out there. You remember me talking about the devil going out there and doing a wheeling, coming back and trying to test your faith again. That's what he's doing. Just command him to get out of there. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's exactly what I was thinking. And the thing, William just brought something up, which I thought was very good. And that is, and he mentioned that about it's his faith. He's not trusting in somebody else's faith in order to see that happen or see that particular thing happen. And it struck me, after our last conference call on Saturday there, how the Lord has really given us the responsibility to help people through faith that may not be able to go there themselves easily. He gave me a picture of two doors. in a situation where that you have a problem, the very first thing that you want to do, you're tempted to do, or is go to the first door, which is the first door of self, and open that door and walk through there, because you know in that door, inside that door, you're going to find everything you think you need, everything that the world has to offer in order to solve that particular issue or problem. But the second door available to us is the door of faith. And that's the door that we tend not to want to go through first, because that's the door that's usually, you open that door and it's always a little dark inside because of the unknown. Maybe that particular area you haven't been through there before, and there's always, it's always a searching mode until you're able to find the light, click the light on, and continue on in faith. And I was just thinking, I got that example of Jesus when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Because I was kind of stuck in this thing of, you know, Jesus said, well, he could do no mighty works in this particular place because of their unbelief, a scripture, you know, of early on in his ministry. And I figured, so if that limits the Lord from doing things, that unbelief, how does he get through to success in certain things? You know, how does that happen if there's an unbelief that's always, that can restrict you? And I got to thinking about that when Jesus went for the purpose of raising Lazarus, and I thought, I could probably guarantee that there wasn't a person in the land that actually thought Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. There was nobody there that believed that, not even Mary, or I think it was Martha or whatever. But he went and even repeated his prayer to God. He said, Father, I'm praying this again to you, not for your benefit or my benefit, but for those around me. And then, of course, he commanded Lazarus to raise and come out of the grave. But the thing that was hitting me is that Jesus had to invite people into that place, even though they may not have had faith for such things. He invited them through there into that environment and introduced them to faith, so to speak. And it just seemed like, I think the Lord has called us to be able to do that, to learn the ways of faith, to learn the ways of the kingdom, and introduce people to that, lead them through that. And so anyway, I kind of got those combination of thoughts, but thank you for William for bringing that up, because that kind of helped me even in that moment. So thanks.
Okay. All right. I had something on my mind that slipped me. All right. Does anybody else got something they'd like to share with a prayer or whatever? Yeah, Judy, go ahead. These changes don't matter. I don't know why this is switching y'all around like that tonight, but it is. Not quite there.
Okay, I just wanted to thank the Lord for today. It was kind of a goofy day. I had four things I wanted to get accomplished. I got three out of four, but the fourth one was really the most important. But I don't know what the Lord was doing. Maybe he was trying to see how patient I was and not get upset. You know, I just went from one thing to the other. This bank sent me to another place and sent me to another place. And I just didn't get upset. And I was okay with it. And I think he was just saying, well, you know, I'm with you. Just keep going. And he got me there safely and back safely. So I just praise him for that. I got 3 out of 4. So that ain't bad. So, and tomorrow, Lord, I ask that tomorrow, let it happen that I can get the 4th thing accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, Claire.
I'm not sure if everyone knows, but Qantas, the big flight controller here in Australia, has announced that they won't be taking any international passengers unless they take the COVID vaccine. So my question is this. We know that we can drink from the cup of evil and nothing will happen to us, right? Like, because we have the faith of Christ in us. That's a perfect work. But we also know what this is about and we know what this is part of. So not necessarily for me, because I think I've made this, I've kind of worked this out in my mind for myself, but I'd like to hear from the brethren. Is this something that we then say, okay, we're stuck in Tassie for the rest of our lives, which we're not, right? Because we know there's going to be other modes of transport coming. We know there's translation. We know there's all of this, but I'm just saying, like, mechanically.
Andrew's running around out there.
Exactly. Andrew's right here. Like, I'm waiting for him. I've got a nice lamb roast waiting for the 25th.
Amen.
Do you all know about Andrew? No? Okay, I'll tell you about Andrew, but let me just ask this question first. So, because I don't like it when there's inside jokes. I always want to be in on the joke too. So I'll tell you about the joke in a moment. My question is, do we just go, right, well, there goes that holiday to Fiji. Not that we're those kind of people, but I'm just saying, like, do you now forego everything? So if we ever wanted to go back to South Africa, sorry, mate, it's not going to happen. The other thing is, Rian's like, oh, well, they must just come here. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't want my parents to take the vaccine. Like, I think my dad would take it because he loves us so much. I think my mom would be a little bit more worried, but it's not just about my family. There's other people who are split. You know, the families are split on various continents, and my heart is sad. My heart is sad that it's come to this. I know it's come to this. I know what the Bible says, pick up your cross and follow me. It's a small thing, but for some people it's a big thing. And I would like either some encouragement or some rebuke on how to handle this decision, which isn't our decision. Do you know what I mean? But it's the things that are happening in the world. Should I tell them about Andrew now?
Yeah.
Okay, so keep that in your mind, let it marinate, and then I'll quickly tell you about Andrew. I've been having these dreams about Andrew, and Andrew is the name Andrew means strong, or means man, not strong man, but just man. And I had a dream the other night where he's been visiting me quite a bit in my dreams, and he came, and and Michael was there, and Missy was there. Missy was sitting in that chair that she's sitting in now. And Michael was there. I write this out so nicely. And then David normally reads it so nicely. And then now you've got me narrating my own dreams. It's an absolute dog show. but nonetheless, what happened was, he said he was coming. Andrew told me in my dream that he was coming. And so it was kind of weird because he was already there, but he said he's coming. And so I said to him, oh, that'll be so great. And he told me the date. And I said to him, that's so great. And it's a weird, I'm just going to tell you the dream. This is a safe space. It's fine. Let me just find it. So basically it's a small dream. Okay. I met Andrew in my dream. I believe he's part of the Man Child Company. Missy and Michael were with us in Tasmania, and then Andrew appeared, and he had silver hair, and he speaks with a different accent, okay? And he only travels by translation, and he's very kind. But he's, I don't know anyone who looks like him in real life. And so it was December, and I invited him to come over for Christmas, even though we don't do Christmas, okay? Like, in under no certain terms do we do it. We don't do, you know, there's nothing Christmassy about our family. I made some jokes. He laughed. I told him I'd have a nice lunch ready. I also invited him to come with us to Freycinet, which is gorgeous, such a gorgeous place. And I said to him, you can just meet us there because it takes us about 5.5 hours to drive, but you could do it faster. And he told us that people had tried to kill him and they were trying to get rid of David. And then I asked him to tell us everything he knows, unless we're not classified to know. And he smiled and he said, not here. So I don't know if that means like he can't tell me while I'm in Tasmania, or he can't tell me in my head, like he's gonna tell me somewhere else. So then there's another part which I'm not gonna talk about, but then it's just small. And then this other part, Missy, Michael, Rian, Andrew, and I also kept on saying Maranatha in this dream. We kept on saying Maranatha, Maranatha, which means come, our Lord. Okay. And it's an Aramaic phrase that only occurs once, I think, in the New Testament. So every time I've been thinking about this dream, this was on the 2nd of November. So we're talking about this whole month. I've been thinking about this. And I keep on thinking, like, is the man child coming in December? And wouldn't it just be a little bit too good to be true if he does just come on the 25th? Like the legalistic brothers and sisters would die. And the pagan worshippers would be so like not ready looking for anything, busy doing their own pagan stuff, that it would really only be the spiritual, you know, us with the spiritual eyes that can see that we don't lean either way. Like we're just not of this world. We just don't conform. So I thought like, that's very exciting. And all I can say is Maranatha. So in light of Andrew coming, man-child coming, Maranatha, what do we do with this little vaccine then for international travel? I know the answer is translation, but I'm talking for people of lesser faith. Anyway, that's.
Yeah, Julie, you were first. Go ahead. I'll get Greg next and then Will.
Mine's kind of more of a question along with Clara's. I didn't really think the vaccine was going to come into play yet. I think they're all just threatening the vaccine and threatening that and putting fear in people's hearts that they have to, that they're doing this. But I didn't think at least how I understood some of the revelations and dreams and stuff about it is like, we're to pray it down and that it's not going to take place. They're trying to push it through. They're trying to do it. But I didn't think that we were actually going, that the vaccine was going. It was like a sign, but it ain't happening before. It can't happen before the time, you know, the mark of the beast or whatever. They can't force you to take something yet.
Well, I think one of the main problems that they have with the vaccine is it hasn't been certified yet, hadn't been tested to fullness yet. And I don't think Trump is going to allow them to put it on the market until it has been tested, unless he's got something else in mind. But anyway, that's what I've heard. Anyway, is that it, Julie? Okay.
That's
go ahead,
it.
Greg.
Well, when you said you wanted a rebuke, that's why I jumped in, Claire. No, I'm kidding. A little bit of perspective for you that might help a little bit. Now, just so the rest of you know, Alan Joyce is the CEO of Qantas in Australia. And in the media yesterday, I saw a video of Dutch Sheets. He called the media this. He called it the False Prophets of Baal News Network. Anyway, Alan Joyce, one of the media, and he was saying, oh, you know, we'll get everyone to have a vaccine before they can fly. Now, just bear in mind, this is the same guy, Claire, who said not so long ago, oh, flying on planes is safe. I've got HEPA filters, the air gets changed every 20 seconds, da 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 da. He's on record of saying that. So I think his announcement yesterday was publicity. And matter of fact, I got caught up in a whole conversation on forgive me, on several Facebook pages that a friend linked me into, on the whole subject, which without going too deeply into it. But what I realized, it was a whole furphy. Well, to a point. I'm not saying that there's elements out there pushing this vaccine. And, you know, until all the shareholders and boards and government officials and politicians sign over all their resources to validate, you know, that they'll pay for any harm caused 10 times over to anybody, then I'm going, yeah, I'm a bit dodgy. But here's another thing that you might want to pray into, and this particularly applies to you and I, Claire. To travel out of Australia, we all of a sudden need our government's permission or border forces permission. This is where I think our prayer should be directed a little bit. For that to happen, because historically, and I can say this because I worked in the field for 30 years, we could not stop anyone leaving Australia unless there was a warrant for their arrest. So even if the police wanted to arrest them, they had an initial warrant, they could go. Or if they've been here illegally, whatever the case may be. That changed, as I say, it changed this year, but the legislation was written in 2018. And excuse me for going long-winded here, but I've got to connect the dots. They wrote something called the Biosecurity Act, which covered all these eventualities, surprisingly. I don't think that was a coincidence. But one of the things that allowed them to do, it allowed the Minister for Health to go to the Governor General, who's the representative of the Queen in Australia, and it's the head of state, slightly different system to the US. And without having to give anyone their reasons, he could just say to the Governor General, I'm really concerned about a biosecurity event. The Governor General then issued him what's called a legislative instrument to say, oh, go ahead and do what you want to do. Now, here's the thing that's a little bit tricky. I'm trying to work out how our Parliament can write a power to the Governor General, which that legislation the Governor General then has to authorise. So the Governor General's, you know, there's something wrong and weird and I would suggest probably questionable constitutionally around that. Now, that legislative instrument under the Legislature Act, legislative instruments can be questioned by either House of Parliament and they're shut down within 10 days if they question it. However, this particular legislative instrument is exempt from that. It's not one of those legislative instruments according to the Biosecurity Act. So there's all sorts of furphies going on to block us into Australia. And that's where I think I was looking at, and you Americans might understand this better than I, but the phrase appeal to heaven came up to me yesterday, which I should find the quote, which a guy back in the 1600s said, you know, once someone's exhausted all the avenues, you know, that are available on earth, then and not getting recourse for a just cause, then we have the right to appeal to heaven. And I tend to think with all this stuff, that's where it should go. The whole vaccine thing, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about that as well. In my state at least, and it may be very the same in Tasmania, but I know in our state legislation, if my government wants to vaccinate me, and I go, nah, they can, I'm assuming it's the Minister for Health for the state, can appoint anyone he wants to come to my house with whatever assistance that person wants to get, could be the local bikie gang, to smash down my door without a warrant, to remove whatever clothing they want to and vaccinate me, whether I want it or not. So I tend to think at that level, and look, thank you for that post that Angelica put up there, I think it was. And I do have something similar for the Australian system on my files, Claire, if you want it, regarding letters and things that be written. But I tend to think if it came down to that, where they're going to vaccinate me, whether I want it or not, then I would start declaring that there's nothing they're going to put in me is going to do anything other than bless me. That's where I'd have to go all spiritual at that point of time if that weapon was brought against me, because the scripture says, if it is what we think it is, and I think it is, it's one of those things that we've got to hit scripture against it deep and hard. But you know, that's some stuff I found out about the announcement yesterday. I think tend to think it was more publicity than anything else. Emirates, for example, very competitive airline with Qantas as far as travelling out of Australia, in and out of Australia, if you want to travel with them, they will, they give you free COVID insurance. If you get crook with COVID, you know, anywhere, they'll put in a couple $100,000 towards your treatment. So I, anyway, that's the, what I wanted to chuck in there.
That's, I think we're headed that way. I don't think we're there yet, but who knows, you know. Go ahead, will you?
Now my mom was, she was a bit cross with me for writing that joke. So I have to apologize. I just laughed because you're not going to get a choice for one in the arm or one in the bum. It'll be their choice. So I just said, no, please don't. Please, rather in the arm. I prefer getting an injection in the arm. But what I wanted to say was I just thought about the Corrie ten Boom movie. They walked into the concentration camp with a Bible and no one saw it. She also walked out of the concentration camp by accident. There was a technical error and she got out. Also, I remember one testimony about a guy who was standing in faith for his pipes, a pipe leak or something, and then they were just praising the Lord, and then he went to a store. And by random, the guy in the store just turned around and told him, you must speak to authority to those pipes and the pipes will be healed. Like the Holy Spirit or something just took that guy over. And then the guy said, what? And then the guy behind the counter didn't even know he was speaking to that guy, telling him to speak to authority to those pipes. So that guy was totally just used without his... But I was just thinking, Jesus walked out of the, when they wanted to stone him or throw him off the cliff, he just walked through that. So I was just thinking, yeah, I'm sure he's just going to go through that whole thing. They probably think they injected you, but they'll never inject you, you know. You'll just walk through the whole operation, get on the plane, and they'll never even touch you. They'll just think they did inject you and tell you, listen, I just gave you that injection, could you please leave? Why are you still sitting here? I'm sure something like that could easily happen. Just walk through the whole process without even ever getting that injection or something like that. Yeah. Amen.
Somebody else had their hand up. Who was it? Okay. I like what Rion said. Did everybody read the chat there? I'll just read it. He said, from David, I agree with Garrett's faith, but we cannot legalistically demand that every Christian take or not take the vaccine. Amen. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. Some who fear would rather not take the vaccine and take the penalty from the authorities. Some would take it because they fear the contagion. Some would have faith not to take the vaccine and live through the penalty. Some would have faith to take the vaccine if forced. Don't force your faith on others. Follow the Lord, not the paranoia or fear from either camp. Amen. I agree. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Thank you, Lord. You're supposed to ask your husband first anyway, Claire. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm just kidding you, girl. You know that. Oh, man. Yeah, there's lots of info on the site. Okay, what else? Hi, Petra. Good to see you. Trouble brews, Malcolm says. What are you talking about, Malcolm? Ain't no trouble. You got Jesus, you don't have trouble. I'm not trying to force Jesus on anybody, but I'm just telling you, if you got Jesus, you ain't got to worry about nothing. That's just the way it is. Amen. Amen. I just watched some things on the internet with Lion of Judah, motivational things, and it gets you all fired up, doesn't it? Oh, Greg, quit stirring the pot. All right. Anybody got anything else before we jump into something here? Okay. I wanted to talk a little bit about your spiritual authority, if I might. And maybe it'll help clarify some things. And I think what we need to do when we've been given authority to do all these things that God has given us this authority to do is to act on it. You know, when we've been given authority to cast out demons, but instead we pray, sometimes we pray that God brings the demon out instead. And what we're doing, we're asking God to do something that he gave us the tools to do ourselves. God told us to cast those demons out. And nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to ask God to cast out demons. Mark 13:34 says, it is as when a man sojourning in another country, having left his house and given authority to his servants, to each one his work, commanded also the porter to watch. Now here's how authority works. Authority doesn't beg. Authority doesn't ask. What authority does, it commands. We're not told to ask God to cast out demons. We're told to do it ourselves. We're not told to beg demons to come out. We're told to cast them out, command them to come out in the name of Jesus. Matthew 8:8-9 verses. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having under myself soldiers. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. In Matthew 8:13, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in that hour. That authority is exercised through our spoken word. The power, you know this, in Proverbs 18:21 says, the power of life and death is in that spoken word. It's in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And now Jesus' authority, here's what Jesus did. One thing that made it clear that Jesus was the Son of God is because he exercised authority that nobody else had access to in history. He cast out demons using his authority. Look at Mark 1:27. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. You see, he cast out demons with his spoken word, with his tongue. Matthew 8:16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. He healed the sick with his spoken word. Look at Luke 7:7. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Also over in John 5:8. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. He's telling him to do these things. He's commanding him with his tongue to do these things. Jesus had been given authority over everything, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he told us, he commanded us in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. You know, Jesus didn't tell us to pray and ask God to heal the sick. He told us to heal the sick. And I ain't never seen in the Bible where Jesus said or prayed, Father, please heal this person. Instead, we see that Jesus healed everybody that he healed with his spoken word. Jesus told that man, rise up, take thy bed and walk, didn't he? And the early church also did the same thing over in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6. Peter said, remember, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And over in Luke chapter 9:1, he not only gave his disciples authority over all the devils, but also to cure diseases. He said, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now, authority is exercised when there is a right to exercise it. They weren't praying and asking God to heal people. They had the authority to heal. They were exercising it with the spoken word, just like Jesus did. Now, I'm not saying that prayer can't heal people, because it can. James 5:14-15 tells us that. All I'm saying is that we're taught to heal the sick using the authority that Jesus gave us. We've seen God heal by prayer on this fellowship here. But what I'm talking about is ourselves. We have authority over sickness. We can exercise our authority to bring about healing in another person's life. You know, a lot of times I've made this analogy about what if you came in and saw somebody beating up on your kid, you know? What would you do? Man, you'd go in there, you know, like a ball of fire, commanding them to quit it, getting them up off of them. That's what you do to the devil. You do the same thing. You command him. And you have the authority because you've seen the scriptures that I just gave you. And that's where I wanted to leave it, right there. We, each one of us, have the same authority that Jesus. Who is it that lives inside of us? It's Jesus. We're the tabernacle of Jesus. Jesus is inside of us. We're walking, talking Jesus. We have the same power as Jesus. He works through us. So when this group gets to praying, we know that it's already done, because we know we have that authority to do it. Amen. Amen. Okay, anybody got any questions or comments? Well, I guess we can shut down then. Go ahead, Julie. I see.
I just want to ask you what you were reading from specifically. Did you just have notes from the Bible, or was that from a particular?
It's from my computer.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just something that I had down.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. I can, it's just notes, I think. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Claire.
I love that. So uplifting. And I think I can confess that at times I know this, that when the little irritations, because irritation in itself is a spirit, right? Like, it's a familiar spirit. And so there are times as a human
a mom, a wife, whatever, whatever hat you wear, that you get in, you're in a situation and you don't actually realize that that the reason you're feeling that way is not because of something external. It is a spirit that needs to be cast out. And instead of reacting in the flesh, we need to like be so closely walking with the Holy Spirit and hearing him that we can cast that frustration, irritation, or whatever it is out, instead of just playing into the hand and making it worse. And I think that's where I know I have the authority. I just forget that I have it all the time. It's good when you know somebody needs deliverance or you can see a really big sin, but then there's, you know, then you know, oh, well, this is only Jesus can fix this. But in your day-to-day things where someone is, you know, like if there's disobedience with your kids or there's just a feeling of lethargy or whatever that is, you have authority over that too. It's not just the big scary demons. It's anything that's not of God, anything that brings confusion, anything that brings frustration. We have to come against it in the authority of Jesus Christ. And I don't do that enough.
Amen. Well, just like you were talking about, if you have a distracting child when things are going on, stop right then, deal with it, get rid of it, and you're on the way to peace. Amen. All right, Greg, go ahead. Theo, I see Theo's got it. Go ahead, Greg.
Theo was first.
Okay, go ahead, Theo.
It's actually me, Lana.
Hey, we're
going. Okay.
As we've been ministering to numerous family members over the last couple of weeks, this question has actually come up up in my mind a lot. I think part of what I may also have been dealing with at the time was legalism, because I always wonder whether I have the authority to actually command specific demons off of them without getting that particular family member's consent. And there are times I did it without thinking, such as unbelief or religious spirits, as we try to minister to them. And we've seen the changes happen in them within minutes. And then when I was visiting my sister and I saw that little Estella had that sore on her, I was praying in the spirit, but I did wonder just how much authority I had over Estella, because she belongs to my sister. And I didn't feel comfortable telling my sister that we should pray and whatnot, because I just didn't want any extra questions or anything else like that. But in the spirit, I was praying for her. And so is there any limitations as to who we can take authority over or where we maybe should not? Maybe it's in specific adults, whereas with children we can't. I don't know.
I don't know of any instance that you can't take authority over something that's a curse.
I think that makes perfect sense, because that analogy about the child being attacked made perfect sense. If I walk into any of my relatives' homes or friends' homes and I see a child under a physical attack, I would defend. Now, if I walked into a stranger's home, I'd probably want to maybe find out if that's a parent or a neighbor or somebody who's allowed. But then again, when somebody's attacked, you want to defend them, right?
Yeah. Well, you can, you know, if it's going to cause trouble in the family, you know, what you do is you do it under your breath.
Amen. Yeah, that always works.
Okay, Greg.
I noticed Vanita put her hand up, and because it's always ladies first, I'll back away.
Okay. Go ahead, Vanita.
No, I was just going to say there was two things. There was one time when the disciples were trying to cast out spirits and they weren't able to. And I can't remember exactly where it was, but you probably all know. But Jesus said he gave a reason why they weren't able to do it. I can't remember what that was. You guys probably know it.
What he said was the reason you couldn't do it because of lack of faith. That's what he said. Okay. And those he said those kind don't come out but by praying. Well, praying for what? Praying for more faith.
Okay.
You get more faith. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, was my other comment was I mentioned when I first joined that my husband's been very, very sick for, you know, 15 years. He's had a lot of nerve pain in his head and lots of back pain, and he's gotten lots of surgeries, and we weren't raised or going to a church where they believed in any kind of healing or anything, so we've never done anything like that. But I mean, he's on a lot of medications right now, and as I'm engaging with you guys more and more, I feel like, you know, okay, you know, stop the medications and it'll all go away. But he can't stop the medications because he's in so much pain, and I can't imagine him stopping the medications because it hurts so much. And, you know, I've been trying to, in faith, do that, just cast out those demons somehow, but, you know, I'm not there yet. So
it's coming. It's coming. Yeah, Julie.
Nita, I have a quick question for you. Would your husband, Frank, be willing to listen to audio teachings of, like, the good news or something like that, where he could hear the gospel?
Yeah, he's not really at all where I'm at right now. So
okay.
Kind of, yeah, not there yet.
Okay. Just something that came to my mind, you know, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And I just know that those teachings have an anointing. And when you are ready, or I would say when you felt led to share the good news with your husband, you know, those teachings, like, they, you know, if he's at a place where he would, I'll listen to it, you know, if you want to put it on kind of thing, even if it was only a half, you know, half enthusiastic about it, you know, the Holy Spirit is very powerful just open up his understanding and, you know, give revelation. So just wanted to throw that out there when the time's right, when you feel led to, you know, just to share a little bits and pieces here and there that he might be receptive, that those audios are really a blessing.
Okay, good.
Let's see, I'm trying to think of your husband's name. Is it Frank?
Frank.
Yeah, okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you for opening Frank's eyes to the gospel, the real gospel. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to take him to a place where he's sick and tired of being sick and tired. I know that's an old saying, but Father, I know that some people get to that point where, Lord, they want you. They want nothing but you to heal them, because you do such a fantastic job of healing folks, getting them completely out of pain. And I thank you for it, Father. I remember the lady. Been many ladies, but one in particular I remember in North Little Rock that you healed. She came out bent double, and we couldn't even touch her. She said, "You touch me, I feel it. Everything in me hurts." And she said the doctors took her home, sent her home, because they couldn't do nothing for her, just feed her full of drugs. And then you set her free just immediately. She straightened up and went to dancing with her kids, with her children, two teenage daughters. You can do that for Frank too, Lord. And I ask, Father, that you work on his spirit to want to know more about you and this healing thing that you have. And I thank you, Father, for opening up his mind to receive the promises that you have for him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. It's out there for him. It's coming. I believe it. Okay. Greg, do you want to go now? Or do you want the ladies to go?
Well, I could be here all day. Bless you, ladies. Give me a moment. I just want to circle back and just put a perspective here. Slam me down if you want, regarding the that incident with the boy and his father, who was the boy who was epileptic. because this, it seems that this occurred. I'm kind of extrapolating a bit here, but it kind of gave me a bit of a realization. Jesus and Pete and Jimmy and John had just come back from the Mount of Transfiguration. So the other disciples were left behind, and they were left behind at the place where Jesus had taken to Caesarea Philippi, where he made the declaration of Peter. Peter had made his declaration, and Jesus said, on this rock, etc., etc. I don't mean to trivialize that. So when they came back, there was the disciples having a go at casting this thing out of the boy. And of course, Jesus rolls up and says, look, Jesus, these guys are having a bit of trouble with this. Now, and Jesus makes the comment, O wicked and perverse generation. I've read some commentary, and I think this is probably valid, because they were at the Temple of Pan, and this was actually outside of Israel, as far as I understand, this father and the particular disease is related to Pan, or the epilepsy in their language. So he was kind of like, it seems he was having a bit of an each way bet, which Jesus doesn't really like sharing his glory very much. And hence possibly the wicked and perverse generation. Now, you know, and then Jesus said, you know, then Jesus cast it out. And the disciples, who I give them credit because I haven't a go, came to Jesus for a bit of a review and said, you know, because they'd gone out two by two and were kicking out demons left, right, and center, said, why couldn't we cast it out? And I give him credit for going for review. And Jesus said, this con comes out by prayer and fasting. Now, Jesus didn't go away and fast before he kicked it out. And the disciples, when Jesus had a conversation with, I think it was the Pharisees, who asked him, why don't your disciples fast? He said, well, the bridegroom's with them. So the disciples weren't expected to be fasting at that point. But Jesus had fasting in the bank. We know he at least did a 40-day fast at the start of his ministry. So he had that, you know, that power. And I tend to think that Jesus was probably saying, guys, just at the moment, it's a little above your pay grade, but don't worry, it's going to come. That's my take on it all. And you know, on the fasting thing, I would suggest that, okay, we do need to be fasting, but as a regular thing, not like, oh, I've got a crisis, let's fast. Not to say that's not a valid thing. That was just my point on that, and I don't know if that's helpful or not, and I'm happy to be slammed
down. That's good. Just one problem with that is the King James Version added and fasting in there. The numerics doesn't have it in there. The old text did not have it in there. It's just by prayer, he says. So.
All right. Thanks for the study. Look, the other question I had, and it was just related to what you were saying, Michael, is I don't find anything in Scripture. I'm not saying it's not valid, though. Chucking them out of other people, that certainly is there. Dealing with them when we realize they're within ourselves. Should that be something we deal with on our own, or should we get assistance?
I'd be honest with you, I didn't understand what you were talking about, Greg. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. When you're talking about authority and casting out demons, etc. And all the examples in Scripture was done, you know, to a third party. But when we realize they're having an influence on us, and in my experience, often their voice is my voice and it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And I go, well, hello, or, you know, or bigger things than that. Like, for example, last Thursday, our time when Claire and Rhianna and I were dealing with that guy Jordan we spoke about, and Claire was asking a lot of questions. She raised up rejection. And I realized, not that I'm fully rejected or anything like that, but I've had a lot of rejection on me that I have just basically just brushed off, or so I thought. And I'm starting to think, oh, hello, maybe this is having, you know, and I was realizing it's coming out in my attitudes. But my question was not so much about me, but when we realize these things, can we deal with them in ourselves, or is this something we should bring to other believers as well?
Go ahead, Judy. You got the answer.
I have answers. I don't know if they're all right. I've done, when I first got some deliverance, it was with people who helped me get delivered of things. And it was first I guess I'll go back to your first thing about the, you know, why couldn't we cast it out kind of thing? And this, he said only this can come out through prayer. I believe first, because I've had the same issue, was, Lord, how come I couldn't get rid of this? Why does it keep coming back kind of thing? And to me, what the Lord was showing me is like, make sure your heart's right. Make sure you're confessed upon all your sins. Make sure that you've even confessed your sins of doubt, unbelief, failure, whatever. It's like, you know, and get things right first with God so that your heart's right and you have then authority, you have power, you have faith, you have those things. And that kind of goes in with your second question about self-deliverance. Yeah, you can. However, I think from my experience, where there's more than one or two people, those demons do not have, they don't stand a chance. When it's just me fighting them, they have a tendency, I'm not giving them any credit, they're gone in Jesus' name. I'm not trying to give any demon credit here, but they tend to want to bluff. They tend to want to put up a bigger fight, I think, because they're, you know, they try, it's their game that they play, you know, trying to get you doubting your authority, doubting that you can do this. Or for me, they've come back with things that other ministers have said, like David or Michael or somebody, and, you know, like, and twisting those words and then saying, well, you know, we have authority, you know, we have authority to test you, we have authority to try you, and we can be here. Like, you can't be here, you know, but they will use stuff like, you know, something like that just to try to mess with me. So I, you know, the Lord's just been teaching me to speak it, command it, and get going. You know, forget about it. I mean, we kind of had this conversation, you know, last week, but it's, you know, it's getting rid of all of that malarkey this the demons are trying to put in your head. But yeah, you can do self-deliverance, but I think, yeah, you can do it. It's just when it's you and you know yourself and those demons know you and they've been with you a long time kind of thing, and they know how you think and how you reason, and they'll start playing with your mind sometimes. So when you got a sister or brother there to help you, they don't stand a chance, period. So it's easier and quicker. That's just my experience and how I see it.
That's right. If you don't have somebody that you can call or talk to, you just stand. You just stand. And when all else fails, just stand. That's what the word tells us to do. And we have to do that. And when you do that, they'll go. They'll go. That's good, Julie. Thank you for the testimony. Amen. All right, Angelica, go ahead.
Okay. I think I have some answers. Glory to God if I do. But Talana, you had some questions here, and I just kind of wrote down what you asked something about, are there instances where we shouldn't, you know, take authority or cast out devils? And I think the scripture said, you know, Jesus is always our example. So, you know, Jesus always looked for faith. You know, he said he wasn't called but to the lost house of Israel. So he always looks for faith, whether it be by their action or by their word. So when someone's going and seeking for the Lord, you know, either through you, because they see that they don't realize that, you know, they're, a lot of the times we get calls from people because they're looking for prayer, because they know, hey, this person prays, she sees answers, she has a, you know, testimony, whatever, but they're really just looking for Christ in you. So that to me is an indication that they're looking for God, and God is drawing them. So that for me, I feel at peace to be able to pray certain things for them, you know what I mean? And I, for people who, I've had people, my family members, you know, who want prayer, but I know that they're just going to go right back into doing things or their sins. So the Bible does say that, they will come back seven times worse. So you certainly don't want to cast out demons from someone who is not really trying to, live the crucified life without being led of the Lord, you know, unless the Lord leads you to do that, because there are instances where people are so demonized that they need that freedom before they can even begin to understand the scripture.
So I think it's really just being led by the Spirit, but certainly somebody who's just wanting freedom for the sake of freedom and not really wanting to serve Christ, I would not cast out demons, because the latter end of them would be worse. It would be 7 times worse for them, according to the word. And let's see. So also for Benita, the scripture that came to my mind for you was that 1 Corinthians 7:4. Now I'm not married, so, but you know, I can read the scripture, and it says the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife. So I believe, according to scripture, you have authority over your husband's body to command healing into his body. And, you know, you can certainly bind up the demons. If your faith is not there, you can bind them up, that you can speak, you know, speak life into your husband's body. You can bind them up that they would be rendered powerless, and that they wouldn't have any effect on his mind anymore, so that he can think clearly and be able to receive what it is you have to say. And so I think that's something you can do there. But you also asked that, I don't know who it was that asked about. About the disciples, you know, and I heard David, I was listening to a teaching about this particular thing that they, you know, he wasn't upset with them. You know, he was upset with them because they were unbelief, because he had given them authority and they weren't using it. They were in unbelief. So, and no one else had this authority, obviously, at this time. So it was because of their unbelief, not that they didn't have the power or the ability to cast the demons out. They were just in unbelief. So that's just what I remember from the teaching, of one of David's teachings there. And to Greg, the authority of casting out the demons, like self-deliverance, anytime we can do self-deliverance, it doesn't matter what it is. When I first came to the Lord, there was a lot of like stuff, you know, generational curses and things that I didn't necessarily want to share, because perhaps I might cause someone to stumble if I shared certain things, you know, or whatever. And so I did a lot of self-deliverance, cast it out in Jesus' name, all that. But there were some things that the Lord wanted me to be humbled and just confess my sin to someone else and learn how to be dependent upon the body, to be unified in that way. And so when I was led of the Lord to do that, you know, I did that. Certainly being here in the local UVM fellowship, we do a lot of that, and it's a blessing, because then the gifts are in operation. You know, everyone has different gifts. And the Lord can give, you know, each and every one something, so that even something that you perhaps didn't know was there, or that God is ready for you to be delivered of. So that's just my little 2 cents.
Okay. Thank you, Angelica. Go ahead, Will.
Also that same...
Whoa, man, that hurts my ears.
Oh, sorry.
You got a bad problem with your microphone, I guess.
No.
Yeah. You got a bad static in there, Will. Or maybe that was Louise, I don't know.
How is it now?
Oh, that's better. Much better.
Okay. No, I just wanted to add, you know, my other phone is...
You're going to have to turn your other speaker down.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
What's happened?
Yeah, okay. Also was just... When I read Sovereign God, and there was also the warning about not casting out demons out of a person that would not be repentant, because 7 worse, so he will be in a 7 times worse state than what he was when you did the initial deliverance. So that sort of stuck with me. I was very afraid to cast demons out, you know, if that's a lack of knowledge also maybe in my part now, because I remember writing emails to you guys with complaints or problems, and then you guys would just say, cast out that demon, or get rid of that demon and cast out that spirit of suicide. And I'd sometimes be afraid to do it because I that thing about, oh, what if that seven demons comes back, you know, would be in the back of my mind. I remember I prayed for some of my family members to get delivered. And I remember the Holy Spirit coming over me and casting out the demon. And also at the same time, praying for a permanent deliverance. Permanent deliverance, not that that house would be filled permanently, that when the demon would be cast out, that that person would be permanently set free long term. And I've seen that being very successful. So I must say, I'm not leaving some demons in, which should have been cast out years ago, because I'm very, very sort of afraid to cast out any demons that will come back to find an empty house. So, yeah.
Are you talking about yourself or a family member?
What I want to sort of add was, when I read that initial scripture, I prayed to the Lord with my own problems and said, Lord, if this problem isn't dealt with properly, I'm going to be in a seven worse state than what I was initially. So, and the Lord honored that prayer. Some of my problems, the Lord started dealing with it from the root out. So sort of that demon was sort of pressed out. It was just being dealt with differently than initial deliverance. And then, yeah, you go back to your life. You know, let's say you had an alcohol problem. It's actually such a pain being an alcoholic, because you can't live your life. You're so bound by that alcoholism. And when you're set free, you sort of go back to your just not serving the Lord. You can get a job again. You're not so bound. You're like not held down. And then in a few months, you're in a five times or seven times worse state because you didn't deal with the root of the problem. So, but yeah, no. In most cases now, for me, it's family. Yeah, there's might be some demons that I'm very afraid of casting out that for the sake of the person doesn't seem very repentant. So I'd rather ask for a word from the Lord if I'm allowed to cast out that demon, or get more knowledge, you know, like if you get more knowledge and you're sure that that sort of demons should be cast out, then yeah, I don't know. That's sort of what's where I'm at right now.
Well, another I can tell you, go ahead.
Now, just another interesting thing that I really liked, one I heard it on David's teachings, I think a year or so ago, is you can't use your authority to get off the cross. You must, that's your, although a lot of people do it and try to do it, but the authority is not to get off the cross, it's for other things.
Amen. As far as casting demons out, you need to be led by the spirit of other people. You need to be led by the spirit. I made the mistake of doing that one time to a family member because they were in so much torment. And I just made it umpteen times worse than it was because I was ignorant to the fact that you can't do that to a person that's not serious about Jesus, you know, about the Lord. And when I found that out, I was very cautious from then on. It has to be someone that is that loves the Lord, that is running after the Lord and wants deliverance, not someone who wants to use the Lord for a temporary fix to get them to go back to doing what they were doing before. And so That's why you need to be led by the Spirit when you do that to a person who's not. Now, if it's disrupting your family, you can always do that. If somebody is disrupting your family, you know, David's talked about that also, his mom, I believe. And she was acting silly. They went in there and bound that demon up. Next morning, she was set free. She was up. She was hiding under the bed, but she wasn't raising Cain in there, you know. But as far as doing somebody else, you're right. You can't just arbitrarily go ahead and start casting demons out. That's dangerous. Hang on, Julie. I think Missy had her hand up first. Or Denny. I'm sorry, Denny. That was you.
Sorry. Well, I had a scripture that came to me earlier when Claire was talking about the little things that come up. So it's not with what you're just now, right now, saying. So he actually put his hand up for something else, but I'll still say what I wanted to say from earlier about the different, you know, they can be, they're bigger things, and there's not just the big thing, is the little things or smaller things. They're not necessarily so little, but seeming more or less important things that come up in our lives, like with our children and that we have authority over. And then Angelica brought up again for Greg about the authority we have to over ourselves and taking authority over ourselves. So anyway, with both of those, the scripture that came to me was 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, are not carnal, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So just to remember and know that anything that raises its head, you know, that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, we have that authority even for ourselves to do that. And so I know I understand, and what I'm hearing is that some people feel that I really need to go to somebody and get that. And that's true too. But I kind of had that experience with myself today, and I'm really blessed that I got freed by some things. And so I just thank God that we can do that. But I want to share those scriptures. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Who are Julie?
Thank you. The scriptures in Matthew 12:44. I'll start in 43, where it says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, and he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none, then he said, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he find it empty, swept, and garnished. And then he goes and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. I think as I understood that is for people like, they get delivered. Jesus did a lot of deliverance and healings in his ministry, and you know, they came to him for a lot of reasons, because of the anointing was there, and they needed a lot of freedom. But those people who didn't do anything with that, they didn't repent of their ways, they didn't repent of their sins, that left their house swept and garnished, that was empty. That part of you that just got clean of unclean spirits needs to be filled up with the word, filled with the Holy Spirit, and walking, you know, following Jesus. So that's what that meant to me. Will, I hope that helps you, because, you know, as long as you're walking with the Lord and you're seeking his face and wanting to walk in holiness and righteousness, you have every right to cast out every demon that tries to enter your house or re-enter your house, for that matter. And I believe that is for anybody who is looking for deliverance. That's to me, that's what that meant, is just you know, the place got cleaned up. Now it's empty. So the demons came back, and you know, the state was, you know, that person's state was worse because, hey, you know, let's bring our buddies, and you know, and he's not running after the Lord. He's not doing anything with the word. There's no real repentance there. So that, I think that's what that meant to me, and I hope that helped you.
All right, Angelica, go ahead.
Yeah, that brought to mind, Julie, like, you know, they, because they look at us, our temple, as their house, you know, we, you know, we cast them out. And if we don't fill ourselves with the word, or perhaps we, you know, we did it initially, but the demons are always trying to come back to their house. So it's again, you don't have to be afraid, because they're always, just because, you know, they're attempting to, you know, to make their way in. It's, you know, so the Bible says that, you know, we're dead unto sin and alive unto God. So we don't have to be afraid when they try to come back in, because when they don't have a right. It's when we are going back to, you know, wallowing in the mire, that we, then they would have a right. And then they have the right to come in seven times worse, should God allow, you know, because God does give grace sometimes to our failures and our ignorances, our weaknesses, whatever. But I wouldn't, you know, I certainly wouldn't not want to find out, you know. But yeah, I think it's very important to renew your mind in that area. Any place you want to get delivered, it's very important to renew your mind according to the word of God, so that when you do get tested, you do get delivered, and you do get tested again with those things trying to come on you, you can stand and fight with the word of God. And you know, you're still going to have that victory, but not be discouraged just because you know, the temptation is coming, or they're trying to, you know, come back into what they believe is their house.
Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Denny sent to me today that thing he was saying last week. So I'll try to get it out to everybody in the morning, maybe later on tonight when I get this thing out. Y'all remember what he was talking about? We were talking about, okay, I'll send it out to everybody here in a little bit. Okay, what else we got? Hey, Megan, is that you down there, 903 number? I think that's Megan. Is that you, Megan? You have to unmute if you're trying to talk. I think it is. I think that's Megan. Okay. What else? Amen. All right. There was some prophecies on the site, but I hadn't had a chance to look at them. Somebody posted a couple of them. I don't even know what they were about. So probably about COVID or something. Boy, y'all are quiet bunch tonight. Except the women, they got to talk a lot tonight. I'm just saying. Yeah, Malcolm X.
Is that how I left my name? I'm on the phone now, yeah. So I can't control my name anymore. Oh, dear. And no, I'm not Islamic yet. So okay. I was just you know, it kind of struck me. I was listening to David's talk Sunday night or Sunday, and one thing he said right near the end of the recording was that he felt that it seemed that, well, he just felt like it wouldn't be Trump winning in this election thing. It was going to be God displaying his power. And that would be so cool because, you know, up to this point, we've been hearing lots of things like, you know, I'd like to remind you, like things like this happened under my watch. You know, Trump will say things like that, which are really, you know, almost like Nebuchadnezzar is not this great Babylon that I have built type statement, you know. So, but it would be really wonderful to see God just step in and make things clear and so that everybody knows that it's him rather than the victory of some human endeavor. Anyway, it's really off topic from what we've been discussing today.
Well, no, listen, that David and I talked about that a little bit, actually a little bit more than that, but it would be neat if the Lord came in here and just took out the faction and the Antifas and all of that with specifically, and that he'd know who it was that was doing it.
Yeah, because the level of, you know, I mean, the level of the depth of the darkness is getting so, what's coming out is becoming more and more dark. And, you know, it's almost to the point of being just like totally supernatural. So,
yeah,
I mean, it is. I mean, it is. What this whole battle is, you know, our battles and principalities and powers of the darkness and whatnot. But it's just becoming, more and more. Of course, that's what, you know, that's part of what we prayed for. We have been praying for some time, and that is that the corruption be revealed, you know, in the churches and in the government and the secular world, that these things be exposed. And so that's what we've been praying for.
Amen.
So, of course, there are consequences to things being revealed, and that is that people, you know, once people see that things have been as bad as they have been, then there's going to be a natural reaction to that. And I think that's part of what we've been praying for as well, and that is, at least I've been praying against war, which is what we were told to fast and pray for before the November 3rd. So, anyway. You know, something else I was thinking about in the shower the other night. It's funny how you think about things in the shower. But and I just praise God that I have a shower sometimes, because, you know, when you're in the Malaysian jungle and you don't have access to a shower, it sure be nice to have a shower. Anyway,
yeah, we're glad you do too, buddy.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Anyway, so, but I was just thinking that, you know what? I'm having a Biden moment. I forgot what I was thinking about in the shower. That was so profound.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry.
God bless you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, maybe it was having soap in the shower. Was that it?
Well, that's a blessing. Okay, here's a list of sometimes what I thank God for in the shower, and that is hot water and clean water and a place for the water to drain to, because we've, you know, especially when you're overseas, there's situations that you get into that you just, you know, you don't have any of that. You're happy to have, you know, any kind of convenience at all. So,
For those of you who don't know, Malcolm's off the grid.
Well, I'm not talking about here. I'm just talking about in like places in like Singapore and Malaysia and off in the boonies in Nepal and places like that. So,
well, praise God, I'm not there either. Amen. Okay, well, it looks like we're about out of time here. Hey, Malcolm, while you're up here, why don't you go ahead and pray for us? Pray us out of here.
Okay. Well, dear Lord, I just thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here. I thank you for this time that we can come together. Such a blessing and benefit to us to have different parts of the body. And Lord, we want to pray John 17, just like you prayed, Jesus, to your Father, regarding your relationship with your Father and your relationship with us, your disciples, and you said then those who should believe on their word, which is us. So, Lord, we want to remind you of Jesus, your prayer that you prayed way back then, and we want to say amen to that prayer, that we be one with you, even as you are one with your Father, so that we all may be one. Lord, I'd like to thank you for your patience with us, your long-suffering, for the grace that you've extended to us. And Lord, let us again be with you, especially at this special time in this history that the time that we're coming to, when you can march through the earth, when you march through the earth and you step on mountains and flatten them and step in the sea and there are great waves and you blow on the waters and there's smoke coming out of your nostrils, all these things that we've read about for so many years in the Psalms and the prophets. And Lord, we know you've restrained yourself for a long, long time. So we pray, Lord, that during this time, which is your time, that we will be truly part of your body, and we will act as part of your body. And we know you're teaching us and bringing us into that oneness in your body. And Lord, I just pray that we will be steadfast not to allow anything between us here and this fellowship, but also with our brothers and sisters anywhere. And also put in our hearts to remember that there are many elect who don't even know you yet and who are acting like Saul was before he became Paul. Help us to pray for people who look pretty dark and miserable. I pray that you will put in our hearts to pray earnestly for these folks. And Lord, also in my heart is a lot of church type people who are part of different organized religions that are getting sick. And the only real hope they seem to have is in medicine or natural remedies or all this kind of stuff. I just pray, Lord, that you will have mercy on them, especially the ones that we've prayed for, that you will grant them repentance and open their hearts, Lord, to your gospel, and what soteria and sozo and what salvation really means, that it's not just forgiveness for sin, but it encompasses your whole body, everything that you need. And those of our loved ones, Lord, we have a lot of people we're praying for. All the people represented on this call here have friends, family, and then those folks have friends and family. Lord, we're just praying for all of these folks, Lord, corporately now, and we just lift them to you and remind you of the prayers we've prayed for these people over the years, that you will not forget our prayers and will not forget them during these difficult times that we're going into. Lord, I pray you bless all my brothers and sisters tonight, and that we'll have a restful sleep, and that we'll truly rest, the Hebrews 3:3-4 rest, that sabbatismos rest, physically and spiritually tonight, and in the daytime for the folks on the other end of the world from us, that you'll give them strength for the day, and whatever that you bring their way, Lord, that they will have your strength, stamina, and courage to face it. And we want to thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good night, folks. See y'all. Good night.